This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. From streaming to shopping, Prime helps you get more out of your passions. So whether you're a fan of true crime or prefer a nail-biting novel from time to time, with services like Prime Video, Amazon Music, and fast free delivery, Prime makes it easy to get more out of whatever you're into or getting into. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to learn more.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What the hell? James Dolan strikes again.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You just asked me if I believe that if he's the right guy. Yes.
It's clear that Brunson thought the idea of Thibodeau not being back with the Knicks was absurd.
The Rich Eisen Show.
So congrats, Knicks fans. Back to a little bit of square one.
Earlier on the show, WWE superstar The Miz. Coming up, actor Joshua Jackson. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with The Miz in hour number one of this program. The actor Joshua Jackson, who's in the new Karate Kid Legends movie, which is available now exclusively in theaters, released last week. He's joining us in studio, hour number three. I have a lot of questions for him. We're going to have a great time chatting with him, and I appreciate him coming into studio, especially since he was supposed to be on last Thursday's show, and I got called in for jury duty, and because I'm a lead pipe-wielding American, I went and did what I'm supposed to do, which is postpone.
Postpone it, yeah. I was going to say, try to get out of it.
You waited that long until you actually
Mike, had... Mike, don't. I was playing the system.
Anyway. And got played.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I'm going to serve if necessary, but that's for a long. That's for another day. I need to know what's going on with the New York Knicks. And a man who covers the team for The Athletic is joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. A maiden voyage here on the program. James Edwards III joining us here on the show. Good to see you, James. How are you?
I'm doing well, Rich. Really appreciate you having me on.
You got it, man. So, listen, I read your coverage, James, and I saw you in a double byline story after the Knicks season was over, essentially saying that Leon Rose of the Knicks front office was in favor of keeping Tom Thibodeau, and that it's essentially that plus Jalen Brunson essentially basically saying, what a silly question it is to even question his tenure here as he dropped the mic in his final press conference of the season. Made me think he was safe, and he's not. What happened, James?
I think in the long haul, this organization, obviously, they don't want to just be satisfied with how far they got. And you can see how maybe those in higher powers view this maybe season as a bit of fool's gold, right? The first round series against the Pistons, they beat the Pistons in six, but the point differential in that series was 5 or 8 points, right? They didn't play great basketball. Credit to the Pistons, who are a good team, but the Knicks were down in the fourth quarter in those games, and the heroics of Jalen Brunson, who's an incredible player, and Karl Anthony Towns, who's an incredible player, helped them squeeze that out. Then you look, the Boston series, they're down 20 in the games 1 and 2. They make miraculous comebacks in both. They were down 14-plus in pretty much every game in that series except 1 or 2. And then you look at the Indiana Pacers. Once Boston's at home, Cleveland's at home, they put together this roster, that being the Knicks, that is full of this talent. And they struggled. Obviously, they lost, but they also struggled with the Indiana Pacers. So I think when you kind of scope out and you look, you could understand how maybe the powers that be maybe looked at this season, this playoff run, as a bit of fool's gold. Whether that's fair or unfair, I don't get paid big enough bucks to answer that. But it is certainly, I think, a reason for how we got here today.
Did something happen in exit interviews? Leon Rose apparently sitting in on these, that the players said stuff that, you know, their body language was saying throughout the season, an argument, as we all saw, taking place on the bench at the end of the disastrous game one regular, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals in regulation, where they were arguing, seemingly barking at Cat. Then we're seeing all these videos come out now in light of Thibodeau's firing, taking a look at things differently. Did anything happen in exit interviews based on your knowledge, James?
They did it in a unique way, and Ann Begley at SNY was the first to report this. James Dolan sat in on the exit interviews with the prominent figures, and I've been covering the NBA for 7 years. This was my eighth season. I have never really heard of an owner sitting in on exit meetings of with players, and obviously they evaluate coaches and things like that, but it was very unique. It sounds like to me that there was a hope that there would be an admittance of some of the flaws that took place this year. That necessarily wasn't the case. And I think it's a situation where this organization they say they need a new voice. Tibbs has been there a long time. He's the best coach they've had in over a quarter century. To be fair to him, this roster got put together hours before they started training camp, and they still got this far. I think one thing too, with all the talk about this team, obviously they had a successful season. And I think a lot of the issues that have arisen and been talked about, it was all basketball related stuff. It wasn't personal drama. It wasn't like you were going in the locker room and these guys were like, couldn't stand each other. It was all basketball related stuff. And I think that was probably the biggest issue throughout the course of the season. This team is very talented, but they struggled against the other top teams in the NBA during the regular season. They would put a great performance together. They would put a bad performance together. There was no consistency. They talked often about the lack of communication that they had on the floor. There was always kind of talks about, we need to put our egos aside, we need to sacrifice. And it just felt like, in terms of basketball, this team was not able to click. So whether or not that came across in those meetings, I'm sure it did. But those were common themes that anybody, you didn't have to be an insider to know that this team consistently talked about how they technically did not gel consistently enough with one another during this run that, again, landed them to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years.
Well, I got to be honest, though, James, when you hear egos need to be checked, that sounds personal. You know what I mean? That sounds like somebody's personality is grinding a gear here that might lead to lack of cohesion in a basketball sense. I think Josh Hart might have been the one to say that quote about egos need to be checked at the door. So, You know what I mean? Like, it's so confusing from the outside looking in here to figure out what – there has to be more to this iceberg. We just saw the tip. You know?
No, certainly. And I think that's a great point. And I do think when we're talking about egos and sacrificing, it's basketball related. Of course, that stuff is rooted in personality. But I just think this group they couldn't find a way to gel. There were talks of people didn't know that what their role was. It certainly was a unique situation. I think if you were in the locker room every single day, again, there wasn't like personal drama. It felt like it was a group that couldn't understand why it couldn't figure it out, why it couldn't be consistent, why it couldn't do things like why are we not communicating on defense? Why are we not playing fast consistently? Why are we not moving the ball? Like, it just felt like things that they couldn't figure out to get done. And in the end, with the help of the Indiana Pacers, it ended their season.
James Edwards, a third of The Athletic here on the Rich Eisen Show, covering the Knicks. All right, I'm not done before turning the page yet, because I'm reading so much stuff online. I don't know what's true and what's not. Is there an issue with Jalen Brunson's dad, Rick, being an assistant on this team? Is there a problem in the locker room with this, James?
That has never been brought to my attention.
Okay.
Yeah, that's never been. Now, would I be surprised if there was a player or two that had an issue with it? I mean, it's a unique situation, right? I have never been told that. Rick has, I know, obviously been with Tibbs for a long time, been with Leon Rose for a long time, brings value to the organization. Now, I haven't been told that specifically by any players, but if you told me that there were players that were struggled with it at times, like, you could understand why from a human personal standpoint.
Well, I'm going to put the Knicks fan hat on here. Whoever those players are, it's too bad. honestly, like, there's one guy out of everybody else, certainly with this Giannis stuff that might be out there, James, that is untouchable. Untouchable. He is a Knick for life, and it is the son of Rick Brunson. Period. End of story. And so that's the thing. When I read that, I'm like, oh, man, you want to talk about how this thing can get ugly and spun out of control? It's that. You're talking about Jalen's dad and his presence is an issue. I'm kind of glad to hear that this hasn't been brought to bear to somebody who's an insider.
This wasn't something that like came up in conversations with people. It's not something that was talked about off to the side or anything. And at least with me and a few others I know. Again, from a human standpoint, could you understand how somebody could have an issue with it? Of course. But Jalen Brunson is the face of the Knicks. He's the best player the franchise had in quite some time. He's a tremendous leader. He's a perfect representative of an organization and its transformation from somewhat laughingstock to stability and respect. There's not a better face for that. And of course, we know how talented he is as a player, but that's how much revere and how much kind of power he has here. Like, he's, and when I mean power is like, this is his show. This is his team. This team was built around his abilities and his development of a player.
Sir, you could remove the word somewhat from that statement.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, I know you have sensitivities about covering the team and being around players that you have access to. They were a laughing stock. And that's why, again, I'm somewhat surprised. So Thibodeau's firing means the team is completely sold on the roster that they currently have, and thus it's this guy who didn't have the right rotations, didn't have the right ingenuity, didn't have the right touch, didn't have the right communication skills, and thus he's the one that's got to go, despite the laughing stock no longer at all being the case for this franchise, James?
So that was my thing. Like, you can point to reasons why you could come to the conclusion why he was fired, right? Like, this talented starting five, they had a negative net rating for the second half of the year. They struggled in the playoffs. If you want to say he should develop the bench, that's fair. But there was a lot of young rookies on that bench. It was a situation where this guy, I thought, maximized the situation. As I mentioned at the top of the show, this team got put together hours before training camp. Karl-Anthony Towns was traded the Friday before training camp. That is a big piece. And that also comes with a lot of changes to how you operate, right? Like, he's not the defender Mitchell Robinson is or Isaiah Hartenstein was. Like, you have to build a whole new system around that. And I think for Tibbs, the big thing for me is he's a guy who has helped turn this culture around. He has helped provide stability. Given that this team was put together in a year, and not even a full year, and they still got to the Eastern Conference Finals, not everything needed to be perfect. But I thought just his track record alone would give him another season to try to rectify whatever it is that they felt was not correct this year. And that was my biggest thing. You can point to certain things, basketball stuff, why they decide that they maybe need to get another coach in there. But I feel like, out of respect for what he's done, give him another chance to try to smooth out whatever the basketball stuff is that they feel needs to be fixed.
James Edwards III here on the Rich Eisen Show, covering the Knicks. A few minutes left with you, James. So let's turn now I'm ready to turn the page.
No, all good.
I mean,
you want to talk about Michigan State?
Hold on a minute. The answer, I have it written down here. Hell no. Hell no. I mean, you know, I love Izzo. I'm happy to talk football if you'd like, James. We can do that.
Although, we can talk whatever you want.
Okay. So the Knicks are looking at who on the coaching front? Because you're hearing that they're – who's the individual who's on the staff that they really like and they're concerned about being poached, and there's word that that they're afraid they might lose him and he could be the next guy. Although I'm sure Knicks fans are looking at some big ass names at least. What's the search looking like, James? Walk me through it.
So I think you're referencing Johnny Bryant, yes, who was on the staff last year and left this past season for Cleveland. He was just up. He was a finalist for the Phoenix job. Listen, there are assistant coaches in this league who I know do a lot and would be able to somewhat vouch for their opportunity to be a head coach. I think a lot of fans get enamored with what they don't know, right? Like, we always want to see the rookie. We want to see the guy who hasn't played. Like, let's see what he looks like. It's the same thing with assistant coaches. Do I know a little bit, and other reporters do, because we're around the assistant coaches. We know how much they do. But your general NBA or sports fan doesn't really know how much the other assistant coach does, right? So that is a name that is a potential candidate. He has been in the system. He is a guy that was brought in by World Wide West a few years ago. So that's definitely possible. Now, people have mentioned Mike Malone. I don't see that happening.
Why?
To me, that's like firing Tibbs and hiring Tibbs. Very similar how they go about their business. Both great coaches. I'm not saying that as a knock by any means, but kind of from the same tree. One of Tibbs's mentors was Brendan Malone. That's Michael Malone's father. Both are very much like have a plan and stick to their plan. Both play their starters a lot. If that is an issue for the front office, like Mike Malone has shown to do that too. It feels like when you do these coaching searches, if you go from like the old school coach, the next coach is the young, imaginative coach. When you move on from that coach, you go back to the old school coach. So I just don't see that happening. Taylor Jenkins is the name to watch. Obviously, he had success in Memphis, but you also want to learn why did they kind of run him out of town. He's another CAA guy. Obviously, if there's people that know the Knicks' CAA ties run strong. James Borrego is a name to watch. I think Sean Sweeney in Dallas, who has been with Jason Kidd at every stop, and a guy I covered in Detroit that is well respected and very good and close friends with Giannis Antetokounmpo and helped him become the player that he is. Mike Anori in Minnesota, who's another guy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What about Jay Wright? What about him? What about going big, okay, massive?
Yeah.
What do you got for me, James?
So this is my thing with Jay Wright. I'm not going to say it's not possible. It sounds like to me from all the stuff, whenever you hear Jay Wright talk about coaching, he's fine where he's at. But even more than that, if you're, you know, maybe they do. This is just me talking. If you're Jalen, Josh, and Mikhail, do you want your college coach as your NBA coach? Like, it's like you're out on your own now. Like, maybe I could see that being a little weird. The other thing is, if there's talks about the clickiness throughout the organization, there's nothing more clicky than the Villanova guys getting their Villanova coach, right? Like, I think obviously maybe there would be roster moves to come, but I just don't think, like, for a situation if people were, if there were in fact players uneasy with Jalen's dad being around, like, will they be any less uneasy with the Villanova guy's coach being around? Like, that's something you have to consider. So Jay Wright is a phenomenal coach. I think he deserves an opportunity if he wants one, but I think there are other things to consider with that too.
Dan Hurley?
I don't see it. Again, one of the best offensive minds in the sport. I don't know about the personality. He's a bit outspoken. The Knicks as an organization don't necessarily like the most outspoken of people when they're behind microphones. I just think that one would be kind of hard to rein in.
So basically you fire Tibbs to either bring in another Tibbs or you bring in who's Michael Malone, or you bring in some other people who might be out there who may or may not be a fit after all, or you go get somebody
from another team.
Right.
Jason Kidd has a relationship with Jalen Brunson, and obviously weird stuff going on in Dallas. Maybe he would like to try another opportunity, but yeah, it's not like this isn't the greatest coaching cycle in terms of proven names that find a good blend of newness, but also have had success. So they're either going to have to take a risk or double down and get another person that was somewhat similar to Tibbs.
And then you mentioned Giannis's name just moments ago, James. My last one for you is, could there be a roster shakeup of massive proportions at the same time of a coaching change? I mean, this is going to be in the ether over the next 2 weeks with the draft coming up. insider that I've had on is saying this is going to be a seismic offseason that could potentially start draft night. That's right around the corner. How do you do this hand in glove if Giannis does sort of raise his hand off camera and say, I want to go to the Knicks? I mean, or you can't do that because you're changing your coach, right?
Like, I think there's a lot going on, and you're 100% correct. I think the big thing when it comes to Giannis, I think he would have to come out and tell the Bucks, hey, I only want to go to New York, and if you don't trade me to New York, I'm not re-signing in 2 years. And Giannis does not strike me as a guy like that. The Knicks traded essentially the rest of their draft capital last summer to get Mikal Bridges, trading 5 first-round picks. They have a 2030 pick swap left that's really of great significance. If you're the Bucks and you're trading Giannis, are you not rebuilding? You have to imagine you're going to start fresh. You're not going to try to keep afloat. Maybe they do. That would surprise me. Like, is there ways to get it done? Yeah, you'd probably have to factor in another team or two, and it would be a big, long, drawn-out trade with a multiple and a multitude of names. That one still seems hard to me unless Giannis just straight up comes out and says, I'm only going to New York, and Milwaukee then obliges. But you look at somebody like Kevin Durant, like, is that possible? There's talks about other stars moving around in this league. So we'll see. I do think what you said, Rich, like the coach – isn't the only issue here. I do think they have to consider some roster stuff, whether big or small. I don't know. That's not my job, but they certainly, whatever they had, it didn't gel on the court always. And I don't think you can solely put that on the coach.
James, appreciate the time. Love to have you back on, but you wore the wrong hat. So thanks.
I won't do it again. I never knew if I'd come back on, so I had to rep
I appreciate that. Is that the only hat you have on?
You did it right.
Is
that, you're good, James.
What?
No, James, you're fine.
Yeah, stay
true. Don't let
Rich
bully you. You know, Sparty, let's go.
No.
It's not the only hat I had. I actually dug through a bunch of hats to get to this one just for your show.
Oh, okay. so it's beyond purposeful. Take the wide shot again. Take the wide shot again. Is that an actual diploma from Michigan State over your left?
It is.
Oh,
yeah,
those exist.
Over my left shoulder.
Those
exist.
Wow.
Touché.
So disrespectful.
Touché. I was more focused on the shoebox.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Come on, man. You know, Brockman and I are curious about that sneaker collection back there. I'm trying to pick what you got.
I got a little bit over here. There's worse addictions, right? So
agreed.
That's what I tell myself every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. James, great chatting with you. Thanks for the information. We appreciate it.
I really appreciate you guys. Thank you for having me.
James Edwards III.
That was
right
great.
Here from The Athletic. Lots to unpack. We'll do that when we come back. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls as well. Let's talk about Brunt work boots, people. When I got my set of Brunt work boots sent to my house, opened the box, my first thought was, wow, these look amazing. My second thought, once I put them on, I thought, wow, not only are these easy to put on, but they feel incredibly comfortable for a work boot. They deliver the protection also and durability you need on your job site if you wear work boots for a living. And on top of that, Brunt isn't just about work boots. They offer a full range of high-performance gear built for tough jobs, from heavy-duty work pants to weather-resistant jackets. Brunt designs durable, reliable workwear to keep you protected and productive in any condition. They look amazing and, again, feel amazing. Brunt didn't just make a durable work boot. They reinvented comfort for the hardest workers out there. For a limited time, our listeners get $10 off at Brunt by using code RICH at checkout. Just head to bruntworkwear.com. Use my code RICH. You're all set. Even better, Brunt lets you try all their products on the job, risk-free. After you purchase, they'll just ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road.
O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
How many brothers do you have?
Three.
Three?
Yes.
So you're the, are you the lone?
I'm the second oldest, so I had some power.
But you're the lone girl?
And I'm the lone girl, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I played a lot of sports growing up.
What'd you play?
Soccer.
Okay.
Yeah. I played on all boys teams.
You're a Karate Kid. She plays soccer.
Oh, yeah. I had to pretend to be bad as a Karate Kid. I had to pretend. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was better than Ralph Macchio at soccer. Way. And probably a karate, too.
When it all got down to it.
Of course, I didn't train. I'm sure I would have been much better if I had trained.
That wasn't part of your role.
No, it wasn't.
In the film. So
I could have kicked his ass.
You could have swept the leg. You could have done all
totally.
Of that stuff. What was that like for you at being a new actress in the world and getting to be in the Karate Kid right off the bat? What was that like for you, Elizabeth?
Well, I had been in the business for about 5 years before that, so it wasn't
okay.
sort of this sudden
okay.
experience. I was the Burger King girl. I did a lot of commercials.
Okay.
I sort of slowly learned my way into it.
So you were then, you just showed up on the set of Karate Kid. Did you have any idea how special that movie
no.
was when you were
None.
Doing it?
None. I was worried. I thought it sounded a little strange, the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
And Ralph being Ralph, I didn't think that he would have any credibility as a karate expert.
Wow. Ralph had no idea he's waking up today. He's going to get thrown under an Elizabeth Shue bus.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I mean, hey, it is what it is.
No, it was amazing, though, to see that movie actually stand the test of time. All my kids have watched it. I love what it says about sports and about the relationship between Miyagi and Daniel is so beautiful.
Right.
So there's so much that's good about it.
The great Elizabeth Shue. I'll be honest with you. That made my day when she showed up in our studio.
Yeah,
I mean,
so delightful.
Oh my goodness. Made my current day, the day of me being in high school day. Karate Kid Legends. We'll talk about it with Joshua Jackson, who's in our green room right now, coming up in hour three. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Manny in El Paso. It's been a while since we chatted with Manny. How you been, Manny?
Gentlemen, greetings from an 89-degree breezy day in El Paso. I've missed you guys.
Manny. If you're driving, can you give us the traffic and weather together, Manny?
Well, let me see. Going eastbound on... passing 824 on Loop 375.
Okay.
Traffic is moderate.
Okay.
It's smooth. Moving regularly.
Okay, great.
Smoothly. So
Manny on the
problem, sir.
Manny on the 7.
Boy, Manny.
Manny on the 7.
Boy, Manny.
What's going on, Manny?
First of all, Mr. Brockman, you need to put Cage in that golfing tournament. He could take down the Miz. I've seen his swing on Instagram. He could take him, brother.
Thank you.
And thank you,
Manny. Second of all, actually, I got two questions for my buddy TJ.
Sir.
One. DJ, did you have an evil laugh when Carl Anthony Towns got eliminated by the Pacers? I mean, I see it as karma for all the BS he did with the balloons and eagle-colored flowers. I mean, still the truth, man. The second question is a wrestling question.
Okay.
Who's on your Mount Rushmore of wrestling managers?
Oh.
Right, guys, I'm enjoying the drive. Managers. I'm enjoying the show. I love you guys. I miss you guys. Let's watch some sports, fans.
Yay! 89 degrees and Manny. Traffic is moderate wherever he's driving.
So the answer, Manny's one question, of course not. You know, that was all friendly banter. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I made it seem like it was
I would have done it.
Awful and it did
there's
suck. I'm not going to lie. But
by the
it was
way,
still good stuff.
There's one thing about, you know, good banter about being rival fans. The other is like his professional career.
Yeah, and that's what earlier somebody said I should say something. I'm like, that's completely different, man.
I mean, it's totally different, but
it's completely different.
But I do love this photograph that's on the screen right there.
And so, Manny, as for the manager question, here's what we'll do Monday on the podcast. So Shay and I will work that question into the pod.
Fantastic.
And we'll give you our Mount Rushmore of wrestling managers.
And he's got to give it too.
Yeah.
Okay, you'll each do that on No Contest Wrestling.
For Manny.
And that'll be also post Money in the Bank.
Yes, sir.
So you'll have lots to talk about on Monday's pod.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
TJ goes and watches.
Look at TJ Jefferson.
Money in the Bank.
He just bought himself 4 days of thinking rather than 4 seconds of thinking and used it as a promo. I don't even know who he is anymore. I think we have honed this man into a professional broadcaster.
He was already a professional broadcaster.
You know what I mean?
TJ, you already were.
I was a professional. No, I was always on the other side of the camera.
I love TJ Jefferson more than anything. More than most.
I don't know about that.
But.
He wasn't?
He was not a professional broadcaster.
I mean, Rich.
I was professional on the other side of the camera.
He might still not be,
but we can all improve.
You were professional, Jason, at least.
Yeah.
Like
the wolf, just because you are a character doesn't mean you have character.
Ah. I'm still trying to get my 10,000 hours in, Rich. You know what I'm saying? 10,000 hours.
Right. Steve in Melbourne, Florida, joining us here on the Rich Eisen. Did I say that right? It's not Melbourne, right? It's Melbourne, right, Steve? Did I say that right?
Yeah, it's Melbourne.
Okay, very good. No, I'm just trying to, you know, brush up on my Florida bona fides. What's going on, Steve? What's going on?
Hey, not too much, guys. How are y'all doing today?
What's up,
great. Good.
My main question is, since I'm a Jags fan since 95 inception, my question for Travis Hunter, I've heard Rich and Brockman on their show discussing with Travis Hunter playtime and everything like that. I just wanted to get your thoughts also, because I have a feeling it's going to be about 65 offense, 35 defense, you know, second and long, third and long, red zone, get them out there. Mm-hmm. But also, in your opinion, watching the sport for as long as y'all have, do you think opponents might dictate play time as well? Like week two, we play Bengals. Bengals aren't running the football. They're going to be throwing the ball. Mm. So, yeah, I want to see Travis out there a little more. Or we play the Chargers. Rich, your guy, Jim Harbaugh,
he's
going to run the ball. So maybe a little decrease in defense for Travis Hunter, since they're mostly going to run the football. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Maybe a dictative opponent might affect playing time on either side of the ball.
How about this, Steve? I'm going to flip your idea on its head. And I'm going to say Travis Hunter is going to dictate to teams about what they should do on offense, whether he's out there or not.
I'm just going by rookie year. I know it eventually is going to get
I know that. I'm just so high on this guy. Thanks for the call,
Steve.
Oh,
yeah, of course.
And you should be so happy. Honestly, like, so if you've got Najee Harris and you've got Omarion Hampton, you're going to be prone to run the ball, certainly when you're a team with Jim Harbaugh hitting a line of scrimmage always in the draft. You know, he always talks about offensive linemen are skilled players. He was here just a couple weeks ago when he said he was woke up in the middle of the night thinking he's got to get his quarterback to the Hall of Fame. Part of that will be having a terrific run game to take the pressure off of his quarterback. And you know, he's the one who also says about offensive linemen, name me another position group in the NFL that must perform so everyone else can perform, but when everyone else performs, it doesn't really affect what they do, right? There's the only one that's there alone on an island, but they affect everybody else from their island. That's the offensive line. And I'm like, huh, boy, this guy's a savant, right? But if Travis Hunter's out there standing where he is for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and by that point in time, when he sees the Los Angeles Chargers in Duval County, it's week 11. We should have a general sense quite a bit on how good he is and what he's going to do snap count wise by week 11.
Duval.
We should know potentially if he's going to take half the field away, then they're going to run the ball a lot more. That's what I'm saying. He will dictate to others. Not others dictating whether he's going to have more of a snap count on one side of the ball or not, because if he's not on the field, well, Justin Herbert might find Ladidi a bit more, won't he? And that's the way it usually works in the NFL. And that's why I'm saying Man, let's get the kid coached up as much as possible now and in training camp and take the governor off. Take, if this is Florida, take the DeSantis off of him. You know what I mean? Let's go. Let's go.
And he's see he's got do. The energy now.
Let exactly. him do it. Exactly.
Do it.
Do it now.
Oh.
Do it. 5 years from now, you might not be able to.
I saw this. I saw this when I wasn't in the chair. This moment in training camp or OTAs. I mean, here he is on coverage, and he just he turns his head. He gets in position to make the defensive play and picks the ball off. If he does this in the regular season, two things. One, it would be ruled incomplete because the ball hit the ground and there is a replay. Okay, I understand. But let's not nitpick. No. He does stuff like this in the NFL in the regular season, and Jacksonville Jaguar games will be in the palm of everyone's hands in a way it has never been. Period. That's why they went ahead and took him. That's why the Miz sitting in first class that night on the draft night is bummed when he first heard the Browns said no to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he knows. Now, yes, they got Mason Graham. They got a draft choice next year. They got a whole bunch of other good players. Yes.
Nice players.
And they might be better off for it. We don't know. That's the beauty of the NFL. That's why, as Berman says, they play the games. But, man, when I saw that, I thought to myself, they will be nuts to not have him on the field for every snap possible. Can you play that one more time? Because, again, he's so on defense. He's going stride for stride in his coverage. He turns his head perfectly. He does not commit interference. He makes the play to tip the ball with his outside hand. Okay, with his outside hand and tips it to himself and has the presence of mind to make a play on the ball after making a play on the ball. He is a receiver playing corner, and he's a corner playing receiver. Holy cow. All right, Liam Cohen, now you're on the clock. I mean, every single time he talks about something about Travis Hunter, I'm going to want to hear about it just to hear if I can get a kernel about what his plan is for him.
I saw so much of it. Obviously a different entity with Cooper Kupp in LA, where you're getting a lot of double coverage, whether it more so be from the slot, where maybe they have a nickel playing outside leverage and then a safety or a linebacker inside of them to double. And then go to Tampa with Mike Evans, and he's more that outside receiver that's getting the corner and the safety double. So it's really just about creating balance. And okay, if we put them on the same side, well, can we dictate maybe where the double may go and help maybe get one-on-one coverage elsewhere? So, you know, as we go and see maybe how people defend us that way with Brian, it'll help kind of dictate whether we want to get the one-on-one matchup in the on the inside or on the outside at the running back position, at the tight end position. So it kind of helps dictate terms, even though it can be annoying at times to get double teams.
Yeah, well, you know what? If he can help Brian Thomas and he can help on defense, well, what are we doing here?
And Rich, real quick.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Do you mean L.I.M. Cohen? You said Liam Cohen. Do you mean L.I.M.?
Okay. Listen. How old is he?
So you like Travis Hunter.
Yeah, because Chris, I'm not overreacting.
I don't think so.
No.
What do you mean you don't think so?
He's 22.
Oh. And he's smart.
Yeah.
And he can handle it. And Deion put him in, like, what do you think? He hasn't had coordinators tug of war with him, saying, you come in my meeting,
Yeah.
Because he knows coverage is, like, look at that right there.
See, that was impressive.
Right? And then if he's on offense, go ball, get ball. See ball, get it. I don't care. Listen, hydrate, put him out there. Put him out there, 100 snaps a game? Got to do it.
Does that seem like a lot to you, though?
Yes.
It seems like it because it is. It is a lot.
Right. Yeah.
But it is a lot. Let's do it until he can't handle it, and then you pull him back a little bit if that happens to happen. I want to go the way what Mona Lisa Vito talked about, you know.
It's like a Ferrari, Rich. You drive it fast until it can't go fast anymore.
Let's go.
But can I let me ask you, until the first day that he has a, ooh, what's that little twinge? Then you're going to get everybody being like, is he playing too much?
No.
That's Should it. He choose one That's, side of the ball?
You know, He's obviously, so that is going to happen.
Special. You use how special he is. Even if you are creating matchups for Brian Thomas just by having him on a certain side, you know what I mean? Even if it's just that, let's go, man. Deion said it best. He said it best when he was talking about whether a team's not going to draft him because they were concerned about this very subject matter. And he's like, if you need points and you're a head coach in the NFL and your best offensive player is standing on the sideline, if you need to prevent another team from scoring and your best defensive player is standing next to you on the sideline, who's going to be the one holding the bag on that one? And it's not going to be Travis Hunter. Oh, my God. That's why they traded a first-round pick next year's draft for this sort of stuff.
Got two first-rounders.
And guess what, guys? I'm sorry. I'm gonna give you this heads up. This is a drum I'm going to be banging for a very long time. It starts now also. It's already started. I was banging it prior to the draft, draft night, after the draft. But now I'm seeing that moment I saw.
That was amazing.
When I saw that, what a bummer. There are my colleagues at Good Morning Football would actually say it hit the ground. To parse it out.
I mean, wait, it did.
I think they did a whole segment on how it hit the ground. It doesn't matter. Yeah. There it is.
Oh, look at that.
I get it. Whatever.
You know, some replay doesn't catch everything.
Whatever.
You know?
Yeah.
The fact that he used his outside hand to make the play didn't interfere with his inside hand, turned at the right time. His head was, you know how many of these defensive players don't know when to turn their head? And they can't, because when they turn their head, their body starts going in different directions. They wind up turning at the wrong time. And he may have those moments as a rookie anyway. Or not.
We got to figure it's going to happen.
Chris, what are the odds for him to win? Is there a place there are odds to win both offensive and defensive rookies of the year?
Oh my God.
There are odds for that sort of thing?
For sure.
There
That's worth the bet.
Just one second. One second.
That's
no, that he'd win
to,
both.
Just to give you a little pushback, because I believe he should play twice, both ways too. But, you know, there are going to be people who say, well, if he would stay on one either side of the ball, would make him that much more dominant. What would you say to someone... Okay. He's like, he should take all these reps at receiver because...
Understood. And then he's more dominant receiver than he would be at cornerback. What if he's dominant in both?
Okay. There's your pushback.
Great. That he's that gifted and that you don't put him out there because you're concerned about the gas in the tank when he's 22. I mean, and it's on you. Lee, I am.
L-I-M.
Take a break. Who's calling somebody on the phone right now? I heard whose phone is buzzing right now.
I think I was getting a spam call right now.
Okay, spam. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available class executive advanced safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. With rising housing prices and steeper mortgage rates, we know home ownership may seem too expensive to be achievable. But that's why we offer a home buyer's choice loan that can open the door to affordable home ownership. Our home buyer's choice loan has no down payment options available, which means you don't need to wait years to save money. And with our no refi rate drop, you may be able to lower your rate in the future without refinancing. Plus, While most lenders require borrowers to purchase private mortgage insurance unless they can make a 20% down payment, we don't require PMI. Finally, we offer fixed payments, so your monthly payment will always be the same. So if you're looking for your first home or your next home, you can open the door with a Navy Federal Home Buyer's Choice Loan. Visit NavyFederal.org to learn how you can achieve home ownership. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility requirements. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Had a little bit of a curb moment last night.
Uh-oh. What?
You know, we were invited to a post-graduation party.
Sure.
It was a drive. Our Taylor was already there. We adore the people that we were hanging with. My only issue was a white party.
Oh, you got it.
And I wasn't wearing white at the time.
Did you go? You so went it was gonna rogue?
Force me to put something else on.
Yeah.
You know, which isn't much. It's, you know, just a trip to the dresser.
Right. Closet.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, hey, there's a white shirt.
There's some white pants, something whitish here. Uh-huh. I just got to put that on.
Yep.
I didn't want to do it.
Okay.
I thought it was presumptuous.
Yeah. Please tell me you wore all black.
Well, that would be provocative as well.
I mean,
because then what I had to change out of my clothes anyway, and now I'm changing it to something that is the antithesis of what the party's supposed to be. So I went back and forth.
The shirt works only, Rich, if you really want to.
What does that mean?
And then you just
I've done a ton of these as a party. DJ. You do not have to have white pants on.
I think
you do. I mean, I've been to two all white parties and I wore all black both times.
Just white Kangol, white shirt, you're good. You're covered.
Did you really do that?
Yeah.
That's a provocative act.
I don't like
wearing all white, so I wore all black.
Then I thought to myself, if this was, you know, the Fanatics party in Long Island, would I have the same approach?
Ooh, you'd be standing out there.
You would have changed for Michael Rubin. Yeah. Let's be honest.
So,
you know what I mean?
If I'm going to be able to change for Michael Rubin, and we are, you know, we're all going to Fanatics Fest, right?
Yeah.
I went and I changed.
Oh, wow.
I put on white pants and a grayish sweater.
Okay.
And I showed up. A lot of people didn't do it.
Oh, that's what I mean.
You got a picture of yourself?
That's what I mean.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
And I would actually go through the process of changing.
But it made you feel good that you respected.
Well,
you
know, I respect the people, you know, like we're, you know, Taylor's moving on to a different school. So these are all, you know, in this day and age, it's like you're breaking up with the parents too.
Although
we're adult enough to say we can still hang out.
But do you know?
Like a couple of parents came up to me and just like, you know, we're so sorry. You and Susie are leaving. And I'm like, just Monday through Friday.
We're not leaving the planet.
No. You know, but that's the way, you know, parents all have kids that go to the same school for a while. Like, you become friends.
Yeah, but you're not going to hang out with these parents again if your kids aren't in the same
school. That's not true at all.
I'm just asking.
No, right? That's not true, which is why I changed.
Okay.
You know?
Because I know someone who wouldn't.
Which I felt like evolving. What, you wouldn't change?
No, he wouldn't hang out with
them. I wouldn't have went.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I wouldn't mind.
Come on, Chris.
Anything to get out of going somewhere? Oh, man.
But it was local. It was in your neighborhood.
Oh, it was in my neighborhood. Oh.
Yeah, you didn't have to travel more than an hour.
Oh, thanks for saying hi.
Right there. Oh, if this was geographically compared to you, as the crow flies from your house to this spot?
Was it close?
Right there.
Oh, got it.
It's right there.
Oh.
To the point where I'm like, do I want to stop by and say hi to Scott? No, I don't.
We're home. We're watching the softball and the hockey.
Now that's the time I wanted to go back home.
That's messed up.
That is messed up.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Eric DaCosta went on a baseball podcast.
Interesting.
And broke some baseball news. The Be More Baseball podcast. Who are the hosts? Jerry Coleman and Mike Bordick broke some news.
Mike Bordick, Maine's finest.
My goodness. Does that mean Mike Gallego is going to break some news about the Buffalo Bills? Wait a minute. We can keep going on this. I finally hit something.
Obscure second
Is
baseman.
Randy Velarde going to break some? Okay.
Keep going.
Randy Velarde. Jeremy Giambi?
Oh.
No.
He was safe.
I still kind of think he was.
How dare you? How dare you? How dare
you? I'm going to watch that play right now.
Go for it. In the meantime, I'm going to break some news of Eric DaCosta talking about re-signing a particular Raven to a new contract.
So are you talking with him right now about things or just letting things lie as they are?
Well, we've had some conversations before the draft, after the draft, in person last week. I think we're in the introductory sort of stage of looking at what an extension might look like. We've got a lot of business that we're conducting with different players, and we're in a situation where we're blessed to have most of the team coming back. But as we look out over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, we're trying to keep as many good players as we can. So we've got some guys that we feel like have the chance to really be prolific players for us that can be here a long time. We're trying to get as many of those guys signed up as possible. That's a big challenge, and Lamar's certainly a big part of that, but there are other players as well.
Lamar, let's talk contract with him now.
Interesting. Smart before the price goes up.
Wow. And then some more news on Lamar on Stan Javier's podcast. it's the only comment I can make, because if I'm Eric DaCosta, I am opening up contract renegotiation extensions with Lamar Jackson every 3 years. I'm not going through the last one, man. I'm not doing it again. We all know he's there for life. He's the guy. He can do it. He's got the ability. Remember the last time? This is when I was sitting here going, I wouldn't give up 2 first-round picks for this guy, because that's what you'd have to do to try and sign him, despite him being franchise tagged. That's what you'd have to give up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have since changed my stance on
sure
that.
Sure you have.
Because the last time this happened, it was like, well, it was eating habits, is this habits, is that habits, is that the right thing? He's got the friend with the shake weights or whatever. It's weird.
Oh, yeah, that's
You remember all that?
We forgot all that.
You know why we forgot all that? Because he became the MVP again in the interim.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's funny.
So, hell yeah. Like, if he's willing to throw more years on the contract, do it. Right?
The entire gym. Is what that was.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm on, there's nothing else to argue about.
There's only 3 years left on this deal.
Right. So start talking now.
Yep. Yeah, because in 2028, it's going to cost a lot more. We might be up to $70 million a year for quarterbacks. So
you might as well sign them now.
Might as well
get ahead of the curve.
Save yourself some cash.
Right.
You know who wouldn't do that, though?
Jerry Jones.
No. Jerry waits till the day before.
And wait till the day after.
But I found that interesting. If they're already thinking about that, it's really smart. It's a very smart organization. Yeah. And, you know, I can't wait to find out more information on Felix Jose's podcast.
And by the way, two different angles. Giambi out on one, Giambi safe on the other. Chris, I don't know if he was safe or out.
He's safe, and we'll find out on the Carlos Baerga podcast.
I got to look up the 1990 A's like I have open here. Ozzie Canseco's podcast.
Oh, wow.
We'll have the latest.
Oh, my God, I can't breathe.
Breaking it down with Walt Weiss.
Coming up later.
Keep going.
Oh my God, I got lightheaded again.
Terry Steinbeck with the latest.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's funny.
Hoskins just chimed in with his voice. He goes, David Segee.
Yes.
I was watching Carney Lansford's fishing show, and they were talking about.
You're idiots. Yeah. You're idiots.
Boy, we're riffing now. We're riffing now. God.
There's nothing better than just dudes naming random baseball players.
Lance Blankenship with the latest on Lamar's contract.
Felix Meon.
By the way, it looks up. Mike Bordick was traded to the Mets. Did you know that? After Ray Ordonez got hurt.
Ordonez.
Okay. Yeah, the Mets traded away Melvin Mora for him.
Oh, Melvin Mora. Yeah. Yes.
Mike Bordick's from Maine.
Good to know.
Just saying.
It's good to know. So.
And I learned that on the Jermaine Dye podcast.
Did Jermaine? I honestly thought we were done with the bit. And then you went back in for one more time. That's the Letterman style, right? Just get a joke, beat it down on the ground, and then keep repeating it.
One more.
next week on the Dimitri Young Experience.
Oh, I remember Dimitri Young.
Wow, Ken Phelps was on the 90 as the famous...
Wait, really?
Yes, the famous former Yankee traded to the Mariners for Jay Buhner, leading to one of the greatest moments in sitcom history.
Baseball people said Ken Phelps.
When George was dead and George Steinbrenner broke the news to the Costanzas in the Costanzas house. And you watch Jerry Stiller sit there steaming, and you're thinking, he looks miserable. He looks so upset. Just look at that scene again. And it's just like he's playing it like he's so upset that George is gone. And he just bursts out, what the hell you trade Jay Buhner for? I remember where I was. I fell off the couch laughing. God bless the people of Seinfeld. Because why the hell did they trade Jay Buhner for Ken Phelps, who then wound up on the A's? And stay tuned to the Ken Phelps podcast for the latest.
That's right.
On when Aaron Rodgers is going to sign with the Steelers.
You couldn't tell me Mike Greenwell wasn't going to be a star back this guy. In the day, man. Yeah, I had like Greenwell. 13 of his rookie cards.
Not on the 98s.
That was a funny laugh right there.
Oh, you guys.
That's good.
Thanks for riffing with me, guys. We got right in that jet stream.
Gotcha.
I don't know if there's any. Wow. Willie McGee was on the 98s?
Rick Honeycutt, I think, was a pitcher.
My goodness. Yeah.
Great name.
Good stuff. Coming up, Harold Baines with his podcast.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.